The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
But first, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has urged the EU not to create any drama as he doubled down on his threat to rip up post-Brexit trade rules for Northern Ireland. Many are concerned that a trade war between the EU and Britain is on the way. But how likely is a trade war, and is now the worst possible timing? I'm joined by Dr. Martina Lawless, Research Professor with the ESRI. You're very welcome. Martina, if the British government takes unilateral action to bypass sections of the Northern Ireland Protocol, which they've been threatening to do, and some say they may do it as quickly as next week. If they do that, the EU would have to respond because it would be a breach of an international agreement. One option to respond is some kind of trade war. Do you think that's a possibility?
Good morning. Well, certainly the rhetoric on the UK side has dialed up quite considerably on the implementation of the Northern Ireland Protocol. And it's important to remember there that quite a lot of the checks that were supposed to be brought in as part of the protocol on goods coming in from Great Britain to Northern Ireland, they haven't yet been put in place. There are still a number of grace periods in place. So it's not really about the current implementation. It's about what could come down the line. If the UK decides unilaterally that they're not going to implement those checks, that they're going to bypass or tear up parts of that agreement, I think the EU would respond. As you say, this is a particularly bad time. There's never a good time, perhaps, for a trade war between two large trading partners. But with inflation hitting 7% across the euro area, any actions on the EU or the UK side to increase the costs of goods being traded between the two areas.
So both sides would suffer, and within the EU side, we might suffer quite a bit more. Does that mean that if they went for a trade war, they could go for a bit of a tokenistic trade war where it would be very, very specific targeted items and not have a really big impact?
I think certainly at the initial stage, and I think this would be something that would potentially build up very gradually, I think any initial moves by the EU to place tariffs or restrictions on goods coming in from the UK would be extremely targeted. It wouldn't be like when we were talking about no deal Brexit 2 years ago, where it would be blanket tariffs across a wide range of goods. The EU would be very kind of cognizant of the fact that inflation is very high, and particularly on consumer prices. So I think they would pick and choose very carefully goods that are maybe sort of emblematic, but not so economically important.
We saw a little bit of that with the trade spat between the United States and the EU, where there were extra tariffs on things like Harley-Davidson motorbikes and whiskey going in other directions and that kind of thing. And it's very, very specific. But what happens is when they don't expand or get worse, they tend to just fizzle out. Like, I don't even know if those tariffs are still in place anymore. It just disappears off the media landscape.
Yeah, well, that particular dispute with the US was resolved, actually. So
it's all over.
Those tariffs were removed.
But there was never any sign that it caused any economic, real economic damage.
It didn't cause a lot of real economic damage. As you said, the tariffs were on a small number of very specific goods.
So could we see something like that between the UK and the EU?
I would see something like that as the initial stage, at least very small numbers of targeted, but probably quite high profile, you know, like Harley-Davidson motorbikes, branded goods, or goods that are associated. You know, the tariffs wouldn't be on a particular brand, but they would be associated with one. But I could see it then, you know, every 3 months if this wasn't moved on or resolved, or that discussions weren't seriously happening, you could see that set of products gradually being expanded and expanded.
There was some data around during the week about the Northern Ireland economy and what the impact of the protocol has been. It seems to suggest that there isn't any large-scale economic impact to the negative. In actual fact, the economy seems to be doing quite well relative to the rest of the UK. But the former DUP leader Edwin Poots was on RTE during the week, and he highlighted an example where he said, well, one of the problems with the protocol is we can't import trees from Britain to Northern Ireland. We can take them in from Lithuania, but we can't take them in from Britain. And these are the kinds of issues that are really making unionists very angry about it.
Yes, I mean, the overall performance of the Northern Ireland economy seems to be doing kind of relatively well. The UK National Institute during the week said they were recovering quite well. Port traffic, so trade going in and out of Northern Ireland ports, has actually increased over the last year relative to 2019. So there's no real evidence that the economy as a whole is doing badly, but there are individual examples where products are restricted coming in from Great Britain. Now, part of the reason for the grace period in place for Northern Ireland was so that suppliers could switch from sourcing restricted goods in Great Britain to the EU. Whereas what the DUP seem to be, or the businesses are annoyed about, is that they can't just keep on with their existing suppliers. But the plan of keeping Northern Ireland in the EU customs zone was always a little bit that some of that supply chain would shift.
Is there a danger for us if this all really did kick off and continue and fester and even escalate, that our EU partners might say, look, we've done our best to ensure there's no border on the island of Ireland. We have, you know, been at this for years. It's not going to go away. The only solution here is that there is no border on the island of Ireland from a customs point of view and checks, but there will be checks in France, for example, at French ports. So goods coming from Ireland into continental Europe will run checks. That would be a nightmare scenario for us economically, wouldn't it?
That would be a massive blow economically. There are quite a lot of costs associated with these checks. And one of the big arguments is that there have to be checks somewhere. And this was discussed for a good 2 years during the Brexit negotiations. And, you know, checks on the Irish Sea between goods going from Great Britain to Northern Ireland was agreed as the least on. It's not perfect. There's a lot of kind of technical details that could make it flow a bit more easily. But of all of the bad options, this was the least worst outcome.
One other thing, I have to ask you this question. The British government has been throwing a lot of shapes about acting unilaterally to bypass sections of the Northern Ireland Protocol. I see in the Financial Times this morning that they've got legal advice from a lawyer based in Cambridge. The British government has. He was appointed as a legal advisor in the Trump administration. And do you think this is a bluff? Do you think they will actually go ahead and bypass sections of the protocol unilaterally?
I think they will talk a very hard game in order to try and get some concessions on the technical implementation and maybe extension of the various grace periods. But it's really in nobody's interest, particularly with inflation running so high and the war in Ukraine, to actually completely tear up trade agreements with one of your biggest partners. So I think it's
so they'll go up the hill
unlikely.
And come right back down again. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully you're right. Dr. Martina Lawless, Research Professor with the ESRI, thank you very much for joining us on the program.